Book of Acts, chapter number 4. We're going to deal with a lot of the chapter, but I'd like for you to just look at two verses with me to begin with tonight. Chapter number 4, verse number 28 and 29. Verse 28 and 29. And notice what it says. It's actually a prayer. And it says, "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine for to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have great opportunities to serve you. And Lord, I thank you that you've given me more opportunities in this last year in this endeavor. Lord, I thank you for the folks that you allow to cross our path and to be able to give the gospel. Lord, we pray tonight that you might teach us some very valuable things. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts. And, oh God, that you'd be glorified through what we say and do here this night. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we pick up the four Gospels, one of the things we're going to find as we get to those four books toward the end is God giving to us a mission. That mission is described very well in the book of Mark 16:15 when he says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now he said, "Go ye." And that word "ye" there is referring to the plural "you," if you please, and it's talking about all of us. And so the mission is not just personal, but it's a co-mission. And so we look at that and we call it the Great Commission. That is our job. That's why God placed us here, that we might take the gospel to a lost and a dying world. How many tonight would say, "Preacher, they need it"? I mean, this world needs it. Our country needs it. It needs Christ. Our city needs Christ. I mean, seriously, there is a tremendous need. We understand that tonight. You and I, we need Christ. Amen. But one of the things that we find, as foretold by the Lord Jesus, and that is that when we go forth with that gospel, expect opposition. Expect it. Matter of fact, plan on it, because it's going to come. And opposition came to these. It's interesting, in chapter number 3, there's a man that he's got a need. And he's lame. He's sitting at the temple. He's at the gate, beautiful. And he's asking for money. He's asking for alms. And Peter and John, they come to him and they say, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And the man comes up on his feet, he begins to walk, and great praise is given. They're able to preach the gospel to people that see it all. But something happens as a result of that. And we find that is, there was a group of folks, priests and Sadducees and Pharisees, that did not like it. Go back to verse number 1 of chapter number 4. Notice what it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." I don't want to ask tonight how many spent some time in the pokey, but maybe there's a few of you here tonight that say, "Preacher, I know what that looks like. I know what the sound of that door closing feels like and sounds like. And I know what these fellows went through for that night. They laid hands on him, put him in jail." It says, "Laid him in hold and the next day, for it was now evening." And it says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed." And notice this, almost nonchalantly it says, "And the number of men was about 5,000. I want you to consider that for a moment. On the day of Pentecost, how many get saved? Come on, class. How many get saved on the day of Pentecost? How many? 3,000. Here, a few days later, I'm not sure how long, sometime later, we find this event takes place and 5,000 get saved. Now, how many smart people do we have here? How many does that make now? 8,000. Very good. We are on the ball here. So 8,000. I mean, can you imagine in a period of just a very few short days, 8,000 people in the city of Council Bluffs getting saved? Would that make a difference? Oh my goodness, would that make a difference? You think somebody would notice? You better believe they would notice. Matter of fact, if it was people in some liberal, non-believing churches, I imagine they might start getting a little nervous. And that's exactly what took place. And these fellows, they are nervous, and they put him in hold. Now notice what it says. It came to pass in verse number 5, on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, I mean they get all these important people, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Now let me ask you, you've gotten saved, no doubt you've talked to folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have, no doubt you've had some opposition. No doubt if people know that you're a Christian at work, you get some opposition. No doubt somebody's going to say some things. If you're a guy and you're on the job and they know that you know Christ, very likely you might be called the preacher. And behind your back, they may say some things about you. And I mean, those things, they just go on. And we live in that and we think, my goodness, and it bothers us sometimes and so forth. I don't know about you, but I have never been called into the courtroom after spending a night in jail because of my faith. But these guys did. Notice what it says in verse 7, when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power, by what name have you done this? I love this. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Did he mince any words? He stood strong and true. Amen. I mean, he told them exactly what they needed to hear. The past few years, we have some TV personalities that get interviewed from time to time. And once in a while, one of them, they might say something. They might say something like, you know, if you're a Muslim, you might be headed to hell. And so they get called into question on this thing. And they get bothered by this thing, and so they begin to ask them some questions, and they try to backpedal a little bit. I've just been waiting for somebody to just stand up there and say yes. That's exactly what takes place. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. And this, he got up, he said it just the way it is, and he told them how it was. Verse number 11, he says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And then he says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now they see the boldness of Peter and John. And it says in verse number 13, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, they hadn't studied in the big universities. And they marveled and they took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. But something happens. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. So what do? They hold a council. Verse number 15, and when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men, for that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further. Now notice what it says here in verse 17. That it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly what? Threaten them. This is no idle threat. That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They threatened them. In verse 21 we find that they threatened them some more. It says, and when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. So as they leave this group, because they could not hold them, they had no crime they could really connect them to, after having this miracle, this man in their very presence, and they leave. And notice verse number 23. This becomes very interesting. And being let go, they did what? They went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, notice here, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Other things are said. We get down to verse number 29 as we read here. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. Upon their reassembly, they go to prayer. And it's interesting what they pray for. Their prayer is not as ours would probably be. I would probably pray, oh God, deliver me from these threatening people. They don't pray that. What do they pray for? They ask God for boldness to continue on. In the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, their focus remained upon the very reason for their existence as Christians. What is that purpose? To preach the gospel. To take the blessed good news to those that are lost and without Christ. Anything, brethren, that comes our direction seems to remove our focus. And the devil has won the victory for the moment. But these people, what do we see about them? Their focus is not changed whatsoever. Matter of fact, they see something very important and they keep going on in the right direction. I ask the question tonight, how can we maintain our focus? We know tonight, you would agree with me, that our mission is to reach the lost. Amen? Our mission is to tell people about Jesus. Amen? Come on, say amen. Yeah, I mean, it's permissible. And that is our job. There's folks out there who need Christ. Amen? Most of our city needs Christ. Amen? And our job is to reach them. We have this responsibility. But we get out of focus, don't we? And everything else seems to get in the way. But how can we maintain our focus? I want to share with you some thoughts that God has given me along this line. Number one, they knew their primary purpose. They knew their primary purpose. It is evident in the prayer they prayed as they're asking God for power to witness rather than that they might be delivered from their oppressors. They know that Jesus said that we're to go. They knew that Jesus said we're to go and to teach, we're to preach, we're to tell others about Him. They knew that. They had an understanding of their purpose. It is true that the church is a social organization. It is true that fellowship is a strengthening to our faith. That is true. But its purpose in the end is for the reaching of the lost. Our responsibility is what? To reach out to others. Why do we fellowship? To strengthen each other. Why do we get together? That we might understand better the purpose of God. That we might encourage each other. How many have been discouraged this week? I mean, you've had discouragement. So you need some encouragement. And as you come to church, you come to encourage, but to be encouraged. You come to be taught and then to teach. We have these things available through the local church. But it all is for one purpose, and that is that we might reach the lost because of the world out there. Is Master Club so we can bring kids in here so they can hear a few things about Jesus, go over and play some games together, and have a great time? No, it's about reaching them for Christ. If all our goal is that they might have fun, we have missed the point. If all our goal is that we might get across or we might say the things that we've been told to say, then we've missed the point. Our job is what? Reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. See them raised up that they might reach some other kids for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our focus. And needs to be. A church that is complaining is not winning the lost. A church that is fighting is not reaching the world. A church that is doing good things but not seeking the salvation of souls has lost its focus. And brethren, we need to realize our primary purpose. Why do we support missionaries? So we can say, boy, we support X amount of missionaries. No, that we might give them the finances and give them the wherewithal that they might be in another place that might fulfill the Great Commission. Because in the book of Acts, it says that we're to go into Judea or Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. But before he says that, he uses a little word, B-O-T-H, both. We have a responsibility to the world. How can we do it? I can't be everywhere, but I can pray for those who are there. I can give to those that are there. And we can do our job here. Too often we look at our troubles and we fail to see the real trouble that is out there. And that is, there's folks that are headed to hell. They are about to dive deep into the pits of hell if we don't reach them for Christ. And that is the need of the hour. But we get so involved in everything else. Listen, the devil can just throw some little thing at us and we get out of focus. Why do we do that? Because we do not really know our primary purpose. What is it? We are to reach the lost. That's what we need to do. And in reaching the lost, listen, we bring glory to God. I understand that we're to glorify God. But our job in doing so is reaching out to the lost. How we need to do that. I believe, secondly, they recognize the source and the purpose of their distraction. Let me say the right word here. They recognize the source and the purpose of their distraction. It came from a religious crowd. It came from those who were jealous but without the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has a way of using people to distract us. He does not want others to get saved. Read chapter 5 of the book of Acts. Read chapter 6 and you find some interesting things that took place. In chapter number 5, you find two people by the name of Ananias and Sapphira that their pride got in the way. Rather than serving God through giving of their finances, they wanted people to see how wonderful they were. They wind up dead because they lied to the Holy Spirit of God. In chapter 6, you find that there were some widows that were being neglected by the church, and there was a lot of controversy, and there was all this whining and griping going on. And so they appointed some men whom I believe were deacons to take care of those matters. And that might leave them free to do the work of God in the areas of prayer and preaching the Word of God. But we find that the devil has a way of distracting us. I go back to the Old Testament and I look that God used a man to write for us much of the book of Psalms. His name was David. David, we find a man after God's own heart. We find David, he is what? The one upon whose throne the Lord Jesus Christ established His. And yet David numbered the people, moved by Satan himself to go against God. And so often we find that even we as God's people sometimes become a distraction. Greater problems, I believe, happen internally than externally to keep us out of focus. And we get all taken up with this and that and the other little thing that, and we forget what the big picture is really all about. It is to reach people for Christ. And so we stop and we need to realize, what is our primary purpose? We'd also stop and realize that anything that distracts us from that purpose, it is coming from Satan. And he's wanting to destroy. But there's a third thing that they did that is interesting to me. They just kept doing what they knew to do. They just kept doing what they knew to do. They had been taken before the council, and yet when they're let go, where did they go? It says in verse number 23, being let go, they went to their own company. They just kept assembling. In verse number 31, it talks about where they were assembled together. The place was shaken. They kept assembling. They kept doing what they knew to do. We find in verse number 24, they prayed together. They kept doing what they knew to do. What happened before the church really was inaugurated on the day of Pentecost? They had prayed for 10 days in the upper room. What do? They come back, they get together, they pray. And what do they pray for? They ask God to give them boldness to speak the Word of God. That's it. That they might go on in the thing that is most important. They sought for and they walked in the power of the Spirit of God. It says in verse number 31 again, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the Word of God with boldness. We find in verse number 24, they maintained a unity by staying upon God's purpose. It says they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They knew the purpose of God. They come to God asking to work in that behalf. And too often we get off on our little tangents and our own little pet things when it's all about Him. Amen? It's not about you and I. It's about bringing glory to Him by reaching out to the world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they maintained that unity. And in verse 31, already mentioned, but notice, they spake the Word of God with boldness. They kept on preaching it. Let me explain something to you tonight. Boldness does not mean without fear. Do you know that? I've known a few men who really aren't afraid. They're not afraid what people might think of them. It doesn't matter to them. One of those men, been a missionary for many years. His name is Tom Peace. I met Tom when I worked at Vickers Hydraulics many, many years ago. And Tom, to go up to somebody and talk to him about Jesus was just as natural and just as easy for him. He didn't think about that. For many of God's people, we get timid, don't we? We get a little scared and we're afraid to say something. And here they're praying that God give them boldness. That doesn't mean the fear is not going to be there, but we do it anyways. We do it anyways. What's amazing about that is that once we open our mouth, it's amazing how I feel strong now. But it's not going to happen until we open our mouth. It's kind of like the Israelites when the priest came to the Jordan River. There's a song about it. And when they stepped into the waters began to back up. Those were flood waters, brethren. They were dangerous waters. They're carrying the ark of God. But when they step into the waters, not until. And when you and I, when we pray for the boldness of God, and we still have the fears, but we step out anyways, and we tell somebody about Christ. It's amazing the boldness that comes with it. Because God will grant that to us. They kept doing what they knew they were supposed to do. We have a purpose tonight. Amen? We have a purpose. And that is what? To tell others about Jesus. A part of that purpose is to train others that they might tell others about Jesus. That's a part of that purpose. But that's the ultimate goal in it. How many like being grandparents? You're a grandparent here tonight. How many would have started out being a grandparent if you knew you could have done that? Skip the parenting part. Mick's already there. You know what's neat is when you've taught somebody about Jesus Christ and they go win somebody to Christ. You've maybe won them to Christ, and so you're their father and mother in the Lord. And now they go and they win somebody to Christ, and now you're a grandma or a grandpa. And you've seen that thing go forward. An exciting thing to do. It's neat. That's what God wants us to keep on doing. Is Open Door Baptist Church a social club? Yeah, but that's not its main intent. Are we to gather together? By all means. What is the purpose of it? To encourage, to enhance, to help each other? Definitely. But it has a purpose. And that is we might reach others. Amen. We might see our kids saved. And we might see the kids of other people get saved too. And adults and folks. Because the world needs Christ. They need Jesus. If we don't, who will? Wednesday night when some of those kids walk into your group, maybe you have one or two and you're one that works with them. Remember something. They're there for more than just to memorize the Scripture. That's a soul that's sitting in front of you that needs Jesus. God didn't place you there for no reason. You have an opportunity to deal with them about Christ. You got verses that are what? About salvation. And you can have the opportunity. Wouldn't it be great if they have the God of the verse rather than just the verse in their heart? Amen. We have the opportunity. There are people that you work with. There are people that you're around every day. They need Christ. Take tracks, whatever you need to do. I had seen the lady who was going to clean the room I was in on Tuesday night. And I don't know why I did this. I took a $5 bill out of my pocket. I went out and I got the little redemption book that Brother Steve Ziner has written. We got a whole bunch of copies of that. I stuck the $5 bill in that and just laid it there on the desk. I don't know where she was at when I left. I'd seen her earlier. And just asked God to work in her heart. I'm sure she read the $5 bill. I know people. But I hope she at least looked at that. We have all kinds of opportunities. Folks need the Lord Jesus. We'll take the opportunity for it. We forget what we're here for. They need the Lord. Amen. Let's covenant together to reach. And Father, tonight, bless and work. Lord, we so often lose our focus. We get so taken up in selfish desires and thoughts and church activities and family, and we really forget. But You've left us here with a mission. God, forgive us. Bring it to our recall over and over. And, oh God, that we would press forward in this area. I pray for Your blessing. I pray that You would just work in these few moments, Lord, as we give invitation. There may be some needs here tonight that must be met. God, work in hearts, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.